Even though the Pentagon has been slow to embrace open architectures, even while professing their value, Army and Navy officials say the migration towards service-oriented, standards-based systems isn't something that can be stalled any longer. That's because the military is pushing toward a tipping point, at which it will no longer be able to afford the high costs of integrating individual technologies that each bring their own technical baselines with them. Lieutenant General Michael Williamson is the Army's top uniformed officer in charge of acquisition.
It's unaffordable for us to continue down a path where we have hardware and software proprietary systems that cause us to spend a lot of money in post-production trying to maintain connectivity and interoperability.
Over the last dozen years, during which open systems have been a hot topic, DoD has invested a lot of money and brain power into developing the standards that will tie them all together. The Army has its common operating environment, designed to make sure systems in its command posts, its vehicles, and the radios its soldiers wear can all talk to each other. The Navy is leaning on the Future Airborne Capabilities Environment, an open interface approach to integrating the technologies on aircraft, UAVs, and helicopters. But writing the standards is one thing. Making sure they're enforced during the acquisition process is quite another. And Williamson says DoD still hasn't cracked the code on that.
This is the part that I don't think we've done very well, is vigorously defending those standards. Once we pick something, we have to be really consistent with industry. We have to be very consistent with our developers in terms of their following and using those standards. And if we waver, I think we send the wrong message to industry, and then I'm still back where I was 5 or 6 years ago.
Even 6 years ago, the Pentagon was paying lip service to open architecture. But when the rubber met the road in its request for proposals to industry, it struggled to make clear what it was willing to pay for systems that were architected to open standards, which tend to cost more up front but are much cheaper to sustain over time. As a result, it wound up buying proprietary systems with lower sticker prices. Vice Admiral David Dunaway, the commander of the Naval Air Systems Command, vows that's about to change. He says the Navy will make it very clear in its RFPs that it doesn't just prefer open systems, it demands them. Like the Army, he says the Navy's main driver is cost.
That bill is pretty darn large for 4,000 airplanes, 10 up to 11 aircraft carriers, as many air wings. And you got to take money out of that system if you want to survive, because the way the price of sustainment and procurement is going, we are going out of business. And that is just a fact of life if we do not do something about controlling the cost. And right now, we are spending a lot of money on point-to-point integrations for interoperability that we do not need to spend. Now, we're there because that's the way we at your systems command have put out requests for proposals and requirements. It's what we have demanded of industry. And what I'm here to tell you is that this SysCom commander is no longer going to demand that of industry. I'm going to demand something else of industry, which is open architected integration.
Dunaway says his command, Nav Air, has taken 9 concrete steps over the past 2 years to make sure that open architected systems are no longer just empty promises. He says the command is reorganized in a horizontal structure so that it thinks about everything it's buying as part of a system of systems, not just a stovepipe component that moves through the acquisition process based on its own priorities.
You know, I look within Nav Air and we have 20-something EOIR sensors that are all unique integrations, every one of them. And when I find something very good on one that I want on the others, I've got to go and put another RFP out and do another unique integration on another platform. This is money that is just absolutely wasted. If we had set a standard for EOIR sensors, which we have now, and maintained it over the years, this would all be much easier for all of us, and the money could go to buying the balls instead of integrating the balls.
As part of that horizontal mentality, Dunaway says the Navy is investing heavily in building a Nav Air laboratory that's organized around FACE, that common standard set it wants to use for future aviation systems.
I have a lot of infrastructure, a lot of facilities. I am trying to consolidate them along lines of warfighting capability and consolidate them along the backbone of FACE. And FACE is not the only open common standard in the universe, but it's the one we're using, and we're happy to work with any other open common standard, commercial standard. because if they're open enough, we should be able to use them concurrently. So we're not solely committed to FACE, but we are committed to FACE because it looks like it has a lot of applicability for future aircraft combat environment. And we're going to put some serious effort into it. The vision that I have given to my team as they go through this is that the next generation aircraft, whether it be a helicopter or a fighter or a maritime patrol aircraft, should have a completely open architecture down the backbone of it, where we, the United States government, compete services on that backbone in cooperation with industry, maybe even buy a green airframe and compete all of the components on that airframe as a service. We're working very closely with the Army on this and Future Vertical Lift with Georgia Tech as well.
The Navy is pursuing its ship-based technologies in a similar vein, according to William Bray, a top acquisition official at the Naval Sea Systems Command. NAVSEA has also built a set of objective architectures that mean that once a new technology comes into the Navy's surface fleet, it can be deployed across several classes of ships without many changes. Bray says for ship-based systems, that means the Navy can turn hardware into a pure commodity and buy its products off the shelf. From there, the main concern is integrating software.
What we've adopted is what we call Common Source Library, really maximizing the use of the software that's under development. The same library delivers to every platform that's out there. So the cruisers, the destroyers, Aegis Ashore, the international programs, LCS-1, as well as to the Coast Guard. You can see how much software reuse we're getting as we go from each of those platforms. That is a significant cost savings before we would develop a dedicated baseline for every one of those platforms that were out there, which was a separate development effort that went on each ship. Now we have one core software that really goes out to many ships.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.